brought to you by Penguin.
The House of Niccolo, Gemini, by Dorothy Dunnett, read by John Banks.
Introduction by Judith Wilt. The elegant working out of designs historical and romantic, political and commercial, psychological and moral, over a multi-volume novel, is a Dorothy Dunnett speciality. In her first work in the genre, the six-volume Lymond Chronicles, suspense was created and relieved in each volume, and over the whole set of volumes. The final, beautifully inevitable romantic secret was disclosed on the very last page of the last volume. The House of Niccolo does the same. The reader of Gemini, then, may wish to move directly to the narrative for a first experience of that pattern, with a reader's faith in an experienced author's caretaking. The novel itself briefly supplies the information you need to know from past novels, telling its own tale while completing and inaugurating others. What follows, as a sketch of the geopolitical and dramatic terrain unfolding in the volumes which precede Gemini, may be useful to read now, or at any point along the narrative, or after reading, as an indication of which stories of interest to this volume may be found most fully elaborated in which previous volume. Volume 1. Niccolo Rising. From Venice to Cathay, from Seville to the Gold Coast of Africa, men anchored their ships and opened their ledgers and weighed one thing against another as if nothing would ever change. The first sentence of the first volume indicates the scope of this series and the cultural and psychological dynamic of the story and its hero, whose private motto is Change, Change and Adapt. It is the motto, too, of 15th century Bruges, centre of commerce and conduit of new ideas and technologies between the Islamic East and the Christian West, between the Latin South and the Celtic Saxon North, haven of political refugees from the English Wars of the Roses, a site of muted conflict between trading giants Venice and Genoa, and states in making and on the take all around. Lady Dunnett has set her story in the 15th century, between Gutenberg and Columbus, between Donatello and Martin Luther, between the rise of mercantile culture and the fall of chivalry, as the age of receptivity to, addiction to, change called the Renaissance, gathers its powers. Her hero is a deceptively silly-looking, disastrously tactless 18-year-old dyeworks artisan named Klaas, a caterpillar who emerges by the end of the novel as the merchant mathematician Nicholas van der Pulle. Prodigiously gifted at numbers and the material and social engineering skills that go with them, Nicholas has until now resisted the responsibility of his powers, his identity fractured by the enmity of both his mother's husband's family, the Scottish St. Paul's, who refuse to own him legitimate, and his maternal family, the Burgundian de Fleuries, who failed his mother and abused him and reduced him to serfdom as a child. He found refuge at age 10 with his grandfather's in-laws, especially the Bruges widow Marianne de Charetti, whose dying and broking business becomes the tool of Nicholas's desperate self-fashioning apart from the malice of his blood relatives. Soon even public Bruges and the states beyond come to see the engineer within the artisan. The Charetti business expands to include a courier and intelligence service between Italian and northern states, its bodyguard sharpened into a skilled mercenary force, its pawnbroking consolidated towards banking and commodities trading. And as the chameleon artificer of all this, Nicholas incurs the ambiguous interest of the Bruges patrician Anselm Adorn and the Greco-Florentine prince Nicolai Giorgio di Acciuoli, both of whom steer him towards a role in the rivalry between Venice, in whose interest Acciuoli labours, and Genoa, original home of the Adorn family. This trading rivalry will erupt in different novels around different, always highly symbolic commodities, silk, sugar, glass, gold, and human beings. In this first novel, the contested product is alum, the mineral that binds dyes to cloth, blood to the body, conspirators to a conspiracy. In this case, to keep secret the news of a recently found deposit of the mineral in the Papal States, while Venice and her allies monopolize the current supply. Acciuoli and Adorn are father-mentor figures Nicholas can respect, resist, or join on roughly equal intellectual...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?